Okay, Rabbi Bose, what we're about to do now is begin Simen Kuf Tzadi Hei, which are the dinim of Harchakos. I just wanted to add very briefly 2 points that we did not mention in our conversations about Kuf Tzadi Daled before we begin Kuf Tzadi Hei. One is that there's a halacha of Ein Shoya B'loy Vlad. The Shoya is basically a placenta, and the halacha assumes this is found in Se'if Hey Vav Zayin. The halacha assumes that the placenta comes out, so that automatically means that there was some sort of vlad. Occasionally, you do have these types of situations where there is what is called an empty sac, and an empty sac. Obviously, it's an unfortunate case. It's like a type of miscarriage when the empty sac comes out. So we have to treat it like it's a nekeva. And that basically you can't go to the mikveh until after 14 days. The other thing that's worth mentioning with respect to miscarriages, which we mentioned can be very difficult emotionally, the job of the Rav is obviously to really be there for his couples when they go through a miscarriage. It's especially at the beginning of marriage, often couples doubt themselves, or doubt they'll ever build a family. It's like a very scary and difficult situation because the halacha does not give any real rules of avelos in these cases, so that makes it more difficult. Like avelos sometimes, I know avelos is for after Pesach, but avelos sometimes adds a dimension that we feel like we have something to do, and that gives some way of healing. But there's no avelos, obviously, by a miscarriage, and that could be very difficult. One of the issues that comes up with a miscarriage is just as a matter of halacha, my understanding is that a couple who's really distraught of it is allowed to recite a Baruch Dayun HaEmes or Shema Malchus, because the bracha Baruch Dayun HaEmes, the Mishnah tells us in brachas, is for Shmuel Sra also. So you get bad news, you recite a Baruch Dayun HaEmes. So this is... this is certainly bad news. One of the issues that comes up with a miscarriage is after the miscarriage, can the next baby be chayiv and pidyon haben? No? Now, what's interesting to note is that the siddur makes a mistake. And when I talk about the siddur, I'm referring to the Koren siddur, which had... I've had this shayla too many times. I've had couples who said, oh, you know, we didn't... do a pidyon haben because we had a previous miscarriage. Not so pashut. Technically, the only time, if you look in Simin Shin Hei, the Simin about pidyon haben in Yerideya Se'if Chaf Gimel, you get the impression that the only time you really patter the ba'achara from pidyon haben is when the vlad was merukam be'evarim. Merukam be'evarim basically means that the vlad begins to look a little bit like a baby, an early term miscarriage. It doesn't look like anything on the sonograms yet. So there is no ptur from pidyon haben. There's some discussion about whether you do pidyon haben without a bracha, with a bracha in that case. If you look in the Pischei Tshuva there in Sif Chaf Gimel, you get an impression that you would even recite a bracha. For some reason, in Rav Vosner's Shi'urim, it sounds like you don't recite a bracha. He has it in his shiurim over here in Kuf Tzadi Daled. I don't really understand it. The pashtus, I thought, la halacha is that you even do recite a bracha unless the child was merukam be'ivarim. There's also a din that sometimes a late-term miscarriage, the baby is chayiv in kavura. It says in Hilchos Milah of Yerideya that if the baby's a zachar, so malin also al kivrel, that you do some sort of mila before you bury the baby. The minhag among Ashkenazim is that we name a baby when it's a... My wife and I had this situation once. My wife had like an 8th month miscarriage. It was actually very difficult. It was a late, very late miscarriage that we had. And when I get distraught about stuff, I try to learn. So I was like looking through all the svarim about this minug of naming the baby, etc. And the Rishonim from Ashkenaz, the Arzarua, etc., they mention that the reason why you give a name is because Asad Lavai, the family will recognize each other just by calling out a name, because there are names that go in the family. So I told the Chevra Kadisha from Breuer's that I had a name to name this baby, when we knew it was a girl. We had a family name that we wanted to give it. And the Chevra Kadisha said, no, we don't do it like that, because in our Kehillah we have minhagim of which names you give these babies. So we were like not so into that. But okay, you know, they take care of everything. Basically, when you have a miscarriage like this, a very late term fetal demise, they call it fetal demise, rather than miscarriage, they have to test the baby to make sure that everything is okay, that there's no condition that could come in the next child, whatever. So, you know, you listen to the Chevra Kadisha, what they say is what you do, but I thought that my understanding of the Rishonim was more correct, and we really had a name that we wanted to give that baby. It's not a simple thing. We paskin that the baby is chayiv kavura, kavuras nefel. We generally do. It's a discussion the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Yontiv, in Tav Kuf Chaf Vav, about whether kavuras nefel we paskin is meikar hadin achiv of kavura, or whether it's just kavura because a kayin can't be metame to it. But maybe if they would, let's say, incinerate it in a way that there wouldn't be any Tomas Kehanim, so perhaps Kavura is not necessary. We generally do Kavura, and we do Kavura once the baby is past the halfway point of the pregnancy. You generally bury the baby. Again, these are very difficult issues. As Rabbonim, you'll have to deal with these situations. It's hard. It's hard for a young family, an older family, to have to call Chevra Kadisha to bury the baby. It's not a simple thing, but again, I think these are the halachos that you have to bury the baby. It happens that the mitzvah says that after a D and E, which is, there are two terms, is D and C, which is dilation and curettage, which is like an earlier type of abortion procedure where they like cut the baby out of the uterus. So after DNC it bleeds, obviously your tamea nida from that. After a DNE, which is a dilation and evacuation where they have to remove the baby, so then generally the bleeding is much longer even. So not only does the couple go through the difficult time of losing the baby and sometimes the difficulty of having to do a kavura, we do not recommend that the parents attend the kavura. Generally speaking, the Chevra Kadisha takes care of it and end of conversation. Although one family was like upset that I gave them this advice, I still think this is like the standard advice. You have to balance the things, but issues of miscarriage can be complicated, and the responsibility of a Rav is to deal with the people and to both answer the halachic questions and also give some sort of guidance. It's not so pashut. It's not all pashut. A few weeks ago, I went to a bris from a couple who used to be in my shul. They moved out. And this couple, at one point, they had difficulty. The wife had some medical conditions. She had a difficult infection. And because of the difficulty in infection, it was always hard for her to, even if she'd conceive, the baby would not make it. At one point, she was pregnant, and also very late in the pregnancy. It's like 7th or 8th month. So she went for a sonogram, and they found out that the baby had like a very serious blood clot in the brain, and had the baby been born, it could be the baby would have died and come out as a stillbirth, or it could be that the baby would have born and would have lived, but would have been very severely mentally compromised. It was a very serious shy. I called Rabbi Willig on the phone. I said, Rabbi Willig, well, we can permit abortion. He said, yeah, absolutely, we can permit abortion in this case. The problem is, in New York State, you can't do an abortion on a live baby at that time. It's so late. It's considered like one of the partial birth procedures, which the right-wing websites write about all the time, these partial birth abortions. New York State doesn't allow you to do it, so the couple had to fly out to Colorado to have the procedure done. It was very difficult for them. Baruch Hashem, she became pregnant shortly after, and I named the son at a bris, like a few weeks ago. I named the son, and they were like mamish flying kai. Baruch Hashem, they have a child. So if you're there for couples when they go through these tzaris, and you really follow up, and you could be there with them for the simchas, that's like the most fulfilling part of the Rabbonus. So these are difficult issues, to have to do kavura, etc. Molonos Akivra, my father's the head of a Chevra Kaddish and Larenz. He told me once he had a father who himself was a Moyol, and they lost a child very late on, and the father wanted to do the Molonos Akivra himself. My father said that was like the most emotional experience. Again, this is already, you know, we believe that the child gets it. The reason we do a bris milah, al kivron hilchas milah, it says, is because Avram Avinu stands by the Pesach of Gan Eden and doesn't allow anyone into Gan Eden who doesn't have a milah. That's what it's a gemara in Erevin, no? And Avram Avinu doesn't allow you into Gan Eden, so it's more also al kivro in order to allow the baby into Gan Eden. Shai Shechter told me that once he went with Reb Asher Weiss, Shlita, to be Menachem Avol for a family who lost a baby. Very difficult situation. That's even more difficult than this. We're talking about like late miscarriages, right? Losing a baby is obviously much worse. So Reb Asher Weiss said, listen, I have nothing to tell you. All I can tell you is a Rashi at the beginning of Maseches Avodah Zarah. At the beginning of Maseches Avodah Zarah, the Gemara speaks about how the Ribbono Shel Olam has some fun. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mesachek B'Levyasin. He plays for a few hours a day with the Levyasin. And Rashi over there basically writes, Reb Asher, of course, knew the Lashon of Rashi by heart. Rashi over there basically writes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Gemara asks, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do with the rest of the time, etc. The Gemara makes a cheshbon of how many hours in the day it is, and the Gemara says that Kadosh Baruch Hu enjoys the neshamis. So Rashi understands the Gemara. Kadosh Baruch Hu enjoys the neshamis of those babies who died very young, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu himself, bechvodo ba'atzmo, teaches Torah to those babies. So Reb Asher said that he felt this was the only nichum for this family, that they lost a baby, that the nicham is that the baby in Olam HaEmes has the best Rebbe possible, the baby's learning Torah with the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that itself is some degree of nechama. Again, these are issues which are very difficult, very, very difficult, but you have to know the dinim, Bein Lingin Pidyin HaBen, Bein Lingin Mila, all the dinim you have to know, and it all comes up because we're doing Kuf Tzadi Dalet, now moving on to Kuf Tzadi Hei. Shall we move on to Kuf Tzadi Hei, which we have more lugubrious conversations? I like the word lugubrious. Actually, I don't like the word. It's a bad word, but it's appropriate here. If you don't know what it means, look it up. Kuf Tzadi Hei? One vote. Everyone else is like scared of me. Okay, weiter. Let's go. Kuf Tzadi Hei, the dinam of Harchokos by Anida, are the dinim that husbands have to know the best. Most of what we have done this year are stuff that basically your wives will take care of. Bederech klal. Harachakos are the stuff that the husbands have to know. No? Kuf Tzadi Hei, the husbands have to know. If you teach chassan classes, which again, I've encouraged all of you that after learning a full year of nidos, probably could die at some point to give chassan classes, it's a good thing. We need lots of people to do this. You spend a lot of time with chassanim on harchakos because it's really important. Now, the question with regard to harchakos is as follows. L'cha'ayra, the din of harchakos is a halacha that makes some sense because we're really worried that you're going to violate the Isra Nida. So Chazal decided to aser certain things that could come lidei erva. Now, in Kenem HaDevarim, so it would make sense l'cha'ora that harchakos should apply to every woman in the world who is usher to you. No? That would mean, let's say, your mother. That would mean your sisters. That would mean your cousins. That would mean any girl on the street. And that would mean, just like we see in Harchakos, for example, that I'm not supposed to be Moshe miyada liyada, I'm not supposed to hand something to her. So l'cha'ayra, you shouldn't hand something to any girl in the world who is above the age of 12, and you can assume that she already got her period, and she's a nida to you, no? She's an erva. Nida's an erva l'chayra. So that's already a question that is addressed in the Shulchan Aruch Evan Ha'ezer Simen Chaf Aleph Se'if Hei. In Simen Chaf Aleph Se'if Hei, there are two opinions that are quoted. Opinion one is the opinion of the Binyamin Ze'ev. The Binyamin Ze'ev assumes that Enochanami, that we apply harchakos to every woman who is an erva on you. The Ramah then quotes an opinion from the Chuvas HaRashba, Simin Elef, Kuf Peches, right? Simin 188, Elef Kuf Peches, where the Rashba and the Chuva Elef Kuf Peches tainas that no, that harchakos only apply by Ishto Nida, not by any other woman, even though the other woman is an erva. And the Rashba explains, effectively, that the dinim of harchakos are not necessary by other women, because by other women, what we have is one super harchaka that solves everything else, and that's called yichud. Okay, gentlemen, yichud is usur. It is an isur da'iraisa, according to the vast majority of Rishonim. The Rambam is quoted by the Beis Shmuel and Simen Chaf Beis, Sifkaten Aleph, as saying that maybe Yichud is a dirabunan, but that is like a collector's item. Mainstream Judaism, Yichud Aser da'iraisa. Because there's an isur da'iraisa of Yichud with any woman who's an erva on you, no? So I'm not worried that you're going to come and break down the Gedarim and end up violating an Isser Bia, because you're not having Yichud. But by Ishto Nida, where we permit Yichud, no? Yichud is Mutter by Ishto Nida. So since Yichud is Mutter, that's precisely why Chazal had to institute additional Harchakas. Now, why is Yichud Mutter by Ishto Nida? So, there are different approaches in the Rishonim. Rabbi Nutam in the Sefer HaYashar, Rav Soloveitchik, Zichrono Levracha, used to quote this in his Shiurim on the first half of Yevamis, right? The Imtaim Afrektois is Akasha, the din of a tzara patterning an erva from Yibam, the din of an erva patterning a tzara from Yibam, is because, right, the Torah says that you can't have Yibam with the erva, so even the co-wife is patterned. So Tisus asks Akasha, Nida te usar le Yavam. In fact, Tisus Akasha, that Anita should be usar to Yibam because Nida is also an erva, right? So Tisus has some answers, it's not clear. But the Rabbi Nutam in the Sefer HaYashar gives an answer, which maybe Tisus is alluding to. Rabbi Nutam zakt that Nida is not fundamentally an erva. Erva means that you're usur on this person and mutter to that person. No? Your aunt is an erva because your aunt is usur on you. She's usur on the relatives and she's mutter to your uncle. No? Erva means asura lazeh, muteres lazeh. But Anita's asura lakuli alma. Because Anita's asura lakuli alma, therefore, there is no din erva on a nida. The opinion of Rabbi Nutam, and again, if you look at the Taisusin in Saita Daf Ches and in Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Zayin, and you read the Taisusin carefully, and you're trying to give a shiur, you could develop the idea that perhaps Nida is not an erva, and therefore there is no Isser Yichud with your wife when she's a Nida, because she's not an erva. Aye, there is an Isser Yichud with your wife when she's a Nida, if you haven't slept with her yet. Now the Gemara at the beginning of Ksuvas tells me that in a case that Kalash appears a Nida, she comes Asura. So we could say that that's a different din. That's a din derabanan. That's because we're worried that maybe you won't be able to control yourself. We institute a new din, but that's not regular yichud. That's one mahalach. No? Mahalach 1 basically says, Nida is not an Erva. Mahalach 2 says, no. Nida is an Erva. How come I'm allowed to have Yichud with my wife when she's a Nida? So the Rishonim basically say a Nusach to the effect of that once you had Bia with your wife, and it's pas besalo, we're not worried that you're going to violate the Isser Bia. It's a real erva. There's a real din Isser Yichud by Kalash Apirsa Nida. But once it's ba'aleha, so I'm not worried that you're going to violate the Isser. And the Isser Yichud is not formally based on the Isser Bia, on the din erva. Haraya, I'm allowed to have Yichud with my mother. My mother's an erva now. My mother's a pretty severe erva. No? How can you like to have Yichud with your mother? You're allowed to have Yichud with your sister, no? Providing that it's done by Kroy. Right? If you're not supposed to live with your sister for more than 30 days. That's the way most Achrayim understand. For some reason, it's a little interesting that this doesn't make it to Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Yichud. That then. But it's a Gemara Sof Kedushin. You're allowed to have Yichud with your sister. You're allowed to have Yichud, assuming it's not long-term Yichud. You're allowed to have Yichud with your mother, even long-term Yichud. Why is it mutter? The teretz is that the din d'oraisa of Yichud, it's almost Mesoro HaKosov LaChachomim, no? There's another famous topic of Reb Asher Weiss. Mesoro HaKosov LaChachomim means the Chachomim b'daitom HaRechava, they came up with an understanding that the Isser Yichud is an Isser d'oraisa in a situation when it's likely to come to Bia. But by your mother, no taiva for Bia whatsoever. By your sister, no real taiva for Bia unless it's living long term with her. And therefore, with your wife, who you had Bia with already, so the Chachamim say there's an Isser d'oraisa of Yichud, and neither should be an Isser d'oraisa of Yichud, and to have Yichud with some girl. Right? This is like a common dating shaila, no? Yichud with your dates. Correct? Not the dates that you make a bar mitzvah eats on. Right? But a date that you're going out with. Right? Is there an Isser Yichud? So the pashtus is that there's an Isser Yichud d'oraisa. Because any girl that you're dating, we're assuming, is a Nida. Correct? So the pashtus is an Isser d'oraisa. How come I'm allowed to have Yichud with my wife when she's a Nida? Teretz is that the Isser Yichud is modeled after what Chachamim are worried that you'll come to violate. So, what we have so far, two mahalachim. Mahalach 1 is that Nida is not an erva. Mahalach 2 is that Nida is an erva, but the Isser Yichud is different. Mahalach number 3 is something that the Tzitz Aliezer made famous. It's hard to really understand this shita, but Mahalach number 3 basically says that the Chachamim gave a heter for Yichud with your wife because it's Iyav Shabbat Acher. What are you going to do? Well, you're not going to have Yichud? So I know what you could do. You know, there was an article in the New York Times this week about how in Nepal, Nepal is a country in this world, no?
Yes.
In Nepal, so they have menstruation practices that women, when they are menstruating, move out and they live in these huts and it's really, really cold and many women in Nepal have been dying. Right? Even from the educated groups in Nepal, women have been dying because of this ancient religious practice of not living in the same home with their husband when they are menstruating. Wow. I'm reading this, I'm like, wow. No? Because it's not only in Nepal. My understanding is that Ethiopian Jews had this practice also. No? And not only Ethiopian Jews, but there was a practice among Chassidei Ashkenaz that Bizman Nidusa, they would have complete harchaka from her. That she would move into a different home. The Sefer Rekeach, I believe, writes that you're not allowed to walk in the footsteps of your wife when she's in Nida. The Ramban al-Hatayra like refers to this opinion, no? Now that opinion is coming from what I would call the world of heebie-jeebie. Right? We don't do this. We don't do this. We assume that, you know, your wife's a Nida, you can't have Bia with her. There's certain harkakas to make sure you shouldn't have, that you won't have bia, but you're allowed to be in the same home. But there were practices that still exist in this world among other cultures and faiths of keeping genuine distance. Now, let me just finish this point. The Tzitz Eliezer basically is developing the theory that he quotes a Marash in the Kitzer Hilchos Nidah Shaloi, that the Rosh understands that the reason why I'm allowed to have yichud with my wife when she's a Nida is because it's Iyav Shebe Inyan Acher, and therefore the Tzitz Eliezer has a razzle-dazzle kula where he's mekal on yichud with adopted children. No? If you are in what they call blended families, if there's an adopted child, so that could be yichud gehenim. It's like disaster zone for yichud, no? Because when you think about it, I can't have, the kid's raised as my daughter, but I can't have yichud with her. So again, some are mekal to have yichud that if your wife is around, there's no, right? So your wife can be a shomer, that's a reasonable kula. But let's say your wife goes out of town. You can't have yichud with your daughter. She's not really your daughter. She's not biologically your daughter. So maybe yichud is usher. In the Eitzer HaPoiskim, Volume 2, when it came out, so the Lubavitcher Rebbe, we believe, Rabotai, that the Lubavitcher Rebbe is now dead. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, who some question if he's dead, but they're wrong, the Lubavitcher really is dead. The Lubavitcher Rebbe wrote a letter to the Eitzer HaPoiskim saying that the Isser Yichud has to apply to adopted children, and therefore he would recommend to children not adopting children because the Isser Yichud is such a disaster to get over. That was the Lubavitcher Shita. Rav Soloveitchik, Zecharenu Livracha, was Megal on adopting children, not because the Rav was Megal on the Isser Yichud with adopted children, right? The Tzitz Eliezer was Megal on the Isser Yichud with adopted children based on this funny rush that Iyasha Ben Yenacher. But the Rav did not hold like that. But the Rav said, you know what? Adopt the child, and you'll deal with the Isser Yichud. You'll figure it out. So the story was that Lubavitchers used to come up here to Yeshiva in Washington Heights, and they'd say they had to speak to Rav Soloveitchik, that the Shaila to ask him. And the Rav was always like, why are you asking me the Shaila? Like, you're a Lubavitcher, ask the Rebbe, why are you asking me? And they say, no, we want to ask you. Apparently, the Masorah among Lubavitchers, and some say even the Rebbe would send people, the Rebbe would say, you know what, you know, sometimes you have a human emotion, and the couples come to you and they want to adopt, and to tell them that you can't adopt, it's very difficult. What, you're never going to have a family? Right? Megalo yosem besoch beso, malo lo vakasov ki ilu yiladai. There's some kiyum. The Chochmah Shlomo writes in the first half of Evan Ha'ezer, some chim of Puri Revu, when you adopt a child. So the Rebbe would say, yeah, go to that fellow Soloveitchik up in Washington Heights. Right, ask him the Shaila. So Lubavitchers would come to ask the Rav this Shaila about adopting. So B'kitzer HaMa'aseh, what we're basically developing the idea is that Harchakos, and this idea, by the way, is also found in the Chidushim of Rebbe Lazar Mordechai Horowitz in the back of Maseches Shabbos on Daf Yud Gimel. You know, he's like one of the guys in the back of the Gemara. So he has this idea, and it's in the Tshuvas HaRashba also, that basically Harchakis Be'ishtai Nida are a replacement because since there's a Heter Yichud, Chazal had to go farther and say that there is a din of Harchakos that you shouldn't come to violate. You had a question, David?
Is this rush basically like based on Darkin Arm?
Maybe. I mean, it's like Iyav Sheb Inyan Acher, like, what are we going to do? Is that Darkin Noam? Hard to know. Like, if it's really an Issur D'oraisa, it's really, really, really hard to be Megal based on this type of Svara. I'm not exactly sure what he's saying. And I think the only posek who mentions is that Tzitz Eliezer. Okay, good. Now, so this is like Hakdama Rishona to Dinim of Harchakis. So in Evan Ezra, there's a machlokes between the Binyamin Ze'ev, both opinions in Evan Ezra Simon Chafav Sefhei about whether Harchakis apply by Sha'ar Noshim. Binyamin Ze'ev is Machmir, and the Rashbi is Mekel. The Minhag HaOlam is clearly like the Rashba, although the Minhag of European Talmidei Chachamim used to be like the Binyamin Ze'ev. No? European Talmidei Chachamim would never hand something to a woman besides their wife when she's not an Ida. They would prava harchakos, like the first. It's not a crazy thing. It's the first opinion in Shulchan Aruch. Now, just two words about the Binyamin Ze'ev. How do I say this nicely? I'm not sure. Binyamin Ze'ev, we believe, was a posek. The Rama quotes the Binyamin Ze'ev Kaseder. Now, I have to say this because not so long ago, Rabbi Yisusker Katz of another institution, of Chovevei Torah, published a teshuvah about whether a woman's allowed to breastfeed in shul. Now, one of the issues, there's tznius issues that you have to overcome, but another issue about breastfeeding in shul is that the halacha is I'm not allowed to kiss my children in shul, no? The Rambam paskins and Arachayim Tzadiches, I can't kiss my children in shul. So that means I'm not supposed to show love in shul to anyone besides the Ribbono Shel Olam. And maybe nursing a baby is the same as showing love to the child. Now, one could argue that nursing is giving nourishment, it's not merely showing love. One can make that argument, and Rabbi Katz deals with that. But Rabbi Katz in that tshuva writes that since the only source of this psak of the Ramah, not to kiss your children in shul, is a tshuva of the Binyamin Ze'ev, and everybody knows that the Binyamin Ze'ev was a controversial work, because Bechayov's many achrayinim felt that he was like copying tshuvas from other people, and he wasn't like a reliable posek. So therefore, we can just dismiss it. That's what Rabbi Katz basically argues in his tshuva. L'dayti nireh sheze mamash lo nachon. Okay, is that clear? It's wrong, in my opinion. It's wrong because l'maisa, whatever we think of the Binyamin Ze'ev, but the Ramah thought highly of the Binyamin Ze'ev, so highly that the Rambam quotes it, no? And our halachic mesora goes through the Rambam. Now, maybe there were some questions about the Binyamin Ze'ev, perhaps. I'm not denying that, you can't ignore history. But the Rambam felt that afilu hachi is a good posek, no? So, it's very, very difficult to summarily dismiss a tshuva in the Binyamin Ze'ev because it's written by the Binyamin Ze'ev. It's very difficult. It happens that question of kissing children in shul, there's a nice article that our librarian over here, Rabbi Moshe Shapiro, wrote in the Sefer Zikaron for Rav Yosef Winevsky. Rav Winevsky was like a blind Talmud Chacham here in Yeshiva. None of you guys probably remember him, right? Rav Winevsky was a blind Talmud Chacham. He's a member of the Kol HaElyon. And when, as his vision was declining, he read Rabbi Yosef Engel to memorize Rabbi Yosef Engel. He had a very, very good memory, because he said, after I lose my eyesight, people will read me Gemaras, no one's going to read me Rabbi Yosef Engel. He knew Rabbi Yosef Engel by heart. He was a lot of fun. He had a great sense of humor, really a lot of fun. So when Rabbi Winevsky was nifter, he never married, never had children, so we put out a Sefer Zikaron for him called the Ksonas Yosef. In the Ksonas Yosef, so Rabbi Moshe Shapiro from the library develops what seems to be a very good case that the Ramah quotes the din of not kissing children in shul in Hilchos Tefillah, not in Hilchos Beis Knesses, implying that it's not a din that al kedushas hamakayim I'm not allowed to show love to my kids, but it's a din that during davening I'm not allowed to show love to my kids. Implying that if after davening your kids run in, no? Abba, it's so good to see you, right? Like, you know, sometimes, I don't think I'm the only one who lives life like this. If my wife comes to shul with the kids, it's going to be, you know, for Anim Zemiris and the very end of davening, right? That's the way it works. So at the end of davening, when davening's over, you're allowed to kiss your kids in shul, Rabbi Shapiro argued. He said that other poskim don't mention this idea, so therefore it's sarachi and lamaisa. But it seems to me that's like a reasonable mahalach, no? It's not din al kedusha samakom. The implications for nursing, I don't know. Apparently Pope Benedict, no, Pope, what's the Pope's name now?
Francis.
Pope Francis. Right, so Pope Francis gave a psak that women are allowed to nurse now in the Sistine Chapel.
Oh.
This week, the Pope Hatrenga Paskin in Yiddish, right? Yiddish is one of the languages, right? You trust me, I'm the only Rebbe in Yeshiva who's quoting the Pope today.
So they're the only one teaching.
Where did we find you? But again, the Pope gave a psak. Yesh la'ayim, by the way, in terms of the nursing question in shul is a serious issue, because on the one hand you want women to feel comfortable in shul. If a woman is nursing a baby, the only way she can possibly come to shul is if you have some accommodations for nursing, etc. I don't know if nursing in shul is a good idea. It seems to me that the bigger concern besides everything is just that it would be distracting for other people, especially in the type of shul where you don't have a mechitza that is impenetrable to eyesight. There are real issues of erva, potentially, but I do think it's a good idea if you are building a shul to have accessible, comfortable nursing areas for women, so that a woman can go to shul, nurse the baby, right? And then, like, daven a little bit, etc. Like, it is a important thing. Lafi and the estate. I'm not chas v'shalom making light of it. But Pope what's his name, Francis, asking that they're actually allowed to nurse in the Sistine Chapel. You could Google it. It's real. It happened. Okay. So where are we? So harchakos basically only apply by ishto nida according to the mainstream halachic opinion, according to the Chuvas HaRashb. One other ha'ara to talk about by harchakos, and I mentioned this to some of the guys in the base medrash today, is as follows. As we'll go through harchakos, we'll see certain things that look to be, as you would say in English, but it's really a Yiddish word, far-fetched. Because, you know, it looks like this is a gezera li gezera. I'm not allowed to throw something because I might touch. I'm not allowed to throw something because if I throw, I might pass something to my wife. And if I pass something, I might touch her. That's a gezera li gezera, no? So how can we answer it? So I'm not exactly sure. But Haner Lofi and Yistaiti, that maybe the reason why we answer things which seem far-fetched is because what we are saying is that since the Torah, usually Chachomim don't have the ability to make a gezera li gezera, because Chachomim can only make an Isser when there's a Tzairach Godol. But over here, since the Torah says that there's a real tzorech, Isha benidas to masal or sikrivu, the Torah says, like, keep a distance, lo sikrivu. So that means that the Torah is telling us that we should make additional precautionary measures. That, I think, is correct. Now, the other ha'ara to note, just is that with respect to dinum of harchakos, we paskin over here in Shulchan Aruch, that even if she's a nida for a very long time, so harchakos apply ad shetitpo, until you go to the mikvah, no? Until you go to the mikvah, there's no difference between yemei nidusa and yemei libuna. The dinum of harchakos are not outs, some heebie-jeebie stuff, which perhaps might only apply when she's menstruating, like the practice in Nepal that we mentioned before. But the dinim of harchakos are out the halacha that you can't have relations with her until she goes to the mikvah. So there's no difference between yemei nidusa and yemei libuna. They say so, they point out that Rashi and Ksubis sounds like there are certain kulas that are only b'mei libuna, not b'mei nidusa. But the Taisus there in Ksubis argues in Rashi, and Taisus says, no, these kulas are, whatever kulas exist, are both b'mei nidusa and b'mei libuna. When Taisus argues, according to one version of Taisus is saying that maybe even Rashi only was meko b'mei libuna because she already went to the mikvah after yemei nidusa. There used to be a practice, apparently, similar to what we saw by Yoledes, that there was a practice that she'd go to the mikvah twice, after she stopped bleeding, then once again after Zayin Nikiyim, in which case the entire din is a din dirabbanon. Now, the footnotes point out a question. What do you mean? If they went to the mikvah one time, so that is only based on Chumrat Reb Zeira, but these practices existed before Reb Zeira in the Gemara. So if you're interested in the answer to that, there's a tshuva that Reb David Metzger published in the back of the Rav Yos, Simon Beis, where he gives an analysis that maybe the Chumrat Reb Zeira existed b'mei HaTanoyim before Reb Zeira. That's already razzle dazzle. We should daven mincha, but I have the tshuva of the Ravya if any of you want to see it. I just found it interesting. Ad kan dvarenu.